This is Tripod, New Orleans at 300. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levenson. When you walk around the French Quarter, you see all kinds of tours going by. Intimate horse-drawn carriage tours, ghost tours, architectural tours. But most tours don't touch one of the neighborhood's most significant landmarks, probably because you can't see it.
So how many people do you think we're standing on top of right now?
Like right this moment? 6, 8, 10 people.
This is Ryan Gray. He's an archaeologist at the University of New Orleans, and he's estimating how many bodies he and I are standing on top of at the corner of Burgundy and St. Peter Street.
There are many people who don't want to believe that there are quite as many people as I think are buried here.
But you should believe him. He has proof.
Yeah, it was completely by myself. It was really late in the afternoon, and the construction crew working on the building in front had gone home, and there were birds nesting in the rafters of the buildings in the back. And it was the most dramatic archaeological find that I've ever had, and the most emotionally compelling one, you know, to all of a sudden be just digging in this clay that has nothing in it, and then all of a sudden there's the piece of wood.
Ryan's talking about the time he conducted a test dig in the French Quarter in 2011. It was for a property owner preparing to install a pool in the courtyard of his condominiums on Rampart Street. The owner wanted to make sure there was nothing underground that would get in the way of construction. On Ryan's last day of digging, he plunged his shovel 5 feet down and hit that piece of wood.
From the coffin that is just below the water table, so there's water kind of filling in to the excavation unit at the same time.
And as he's standing in a 5-foot hole with water rising up towards his ankles, Ryan thought, jackpot.
It was almost like a movie, you know, that the last thing that you unturn is, boom, you hit pay dirt.
That's Vincent Marcello, the property owner who thought he was about to build a great swimming pool.
But, well, we found the mother lode.
By mother lode, he means the rediscovery of St. Peter Street Cemetery, the city's first formal burial ground.
So you're standing amidst thousands of books, which have thousands of records in them.
Lee Loomis is the director of archives and records for the Archdiocese in New Orleans. She leads me through the archival vault, where we stand surrounded by every baptism, marriage, and funeral recorded by the Catholic Church.
Jack, our earliest funerals are?
There might be some in those earlier books.
A lot of people think St. Louis Cemetery No. 1 is the city's oldest. Those graves are above ground and more accessible to tourists. But those people are wrong.
Before we have St. Louis No. 1, we have a cemetery that was the church cemetery. So it's behind the church, a couple of blocks, which would have been outside of the city, because the city stops at Dauphine. And there was a moat. I can't imagine having a moat, but there was a moat that encircled the city. And the cemetery then was beyond the moat.
New Orleans' footprint was about half the size of the current French Quarter when it was founded in 1718. So the Catholic Church created a cemetery outside the city limits, across that moat, to bury the dead. And everyone who died in New Orleans, white people, free people of color, enslaved people, everyone was buried in that single cemetery because everyone was Catholic.
Catholicism was the only religion in the colonial territory. If you were French, if you were Spanish, if you were in Louisiana, you had to be Catholic.
The St. Peter Street Cemetery remained the only burial grounds through the transfer of power from the French to the Spanish in the 1760s. Then, in the 1780s, the Spanish decided the city had outgrown St. Peter Street. So they were like, okay, time for a new cemetery.
And the Spanish government decides they're going to expropriate that land, and they're then going to start another cemetery, which is St. Louis No. 1.
The city's first above-ground cemetery.
When they do that, though, they don't dig up the bones and move them.
And the church is like, what? This is sacred land. You can't just build on top of all these bones. So they went to the Spanish government, and they were like, please, don't do this.
And what was the city's response?
The city did what the city wanted to do. The government just expropriated the land and built buildings on top of it.
You're listening to Tripod, New Orleans at 300. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levenson. So the St. Peter Street Cemetery was officially closed by 1800, and the Spanish government ignored the Catholic Church's pleas and developed right on top of the burial grounds. Many of these early 19th century buildings still stand in the quarter today. Which brings us back to 2011, when Ryan Gray's shovel hit a cypress coffin 5 feet underground on Vincent Marcello's property. But Ryan wasn't the first to discover the cemetery. He says construction was happening back in 1972, which turned up some human bones.
There they were found just by an illicit bottle hunter who had snuck onto the site and was digging around and ran across the coffins. And no one really made that big of a deal of it at the time. The coroner's office said, oh yeah, there are some graves here. And then they kept on building.
A decade later, a developer was doing construction on Rampart and Burgundy, and he too came across a bunch of remains, but told his workers not to say anything so they could just finish the project.
I've heard that one of the employees got kind of mad at his boss, and so reported to the newspaper that they were finding and digging through and destroying, you know, hundreds of burials, and that people were like taking skulls home as souvenirs and things like that.
That's why Ryan feels grateful Vincent Marcello wanted to responsibly manage his site. The original construction plan required a tool called a ditch witch to churn up soil and excavate for the pool.
There would have been nothing left. You wouldn't have even known that there were graves there if he had brought the ditch witch through.
Basically, Vincent didn't want to be a ditch witch.
I wasn't just going to cover it up and move it along. We wanted to do the right thing, and we called the state archaeologists and... we declared it as a site.
Ryan called in help to lift the nearly 300-year-old cypress coffins out of the ground.
And it looked kind of like a traditional, pallbearers, because we'd have this big piece of scaffolding with a coffin wrapped on it, and we'd have, six or eight people carrying out the scaffold out onto Rampart Street.
Wow. 13 coffins and 2 standalone bodies were lifted from the ground and sent to a forensics lab at Louisiana State University. Jenny Listy is a forensic anthropologist and a bioarchaeologist at LSU.
Well, there's a lot you can learn from the human skeleton.
Her team discovered that the 15 skeletons were of all different genders and ages. Infants, toddlers, teenagers, young adults, older people. The studies also determined certain habits among this small cross-section of the city's first residents.
Out of the 4 males we found, 2 of our males showed evidence of pipe smoking. So that kind of suggests to us, maybe this was a cultural activity that middle-aged to older males in late 1700s New Orleans, they liked to smoke their pipes. Another one of our males actually had a dental filling. That's the oldest dental filling that we found in Louisiana.
Even more incredible, every person discovered was of African or Native American descent.
In the 1778 census, almost half of New Orleans' urban population consisted of people of color. In our group, like I said, they were either of African or of mixed African and Native American descent. But we do not know, there's nothing that would allow us to say whether they were free people of color or whether they were enslaved.
It's a nice little window into just the degree of Native African admixture in early Louisiana.
That's archaeologist Ryan Gray again. His test dig permit specified that the remains must eventually be reburied in sanctified ground. This gave him an idea.
I started thinking about trying to have a public reburial event, since many of the people whose remains we recovered were very likely of Central African descent. It was kind of an appropriate time to do that and to try to bring attention to that aspect.
St. Augustine Church in the Treme agreed to host a mass for the reburial of this diverse group of early New Orleanians. On April 18, 2015, Choctaw and African dancers and drummers, the Treme Brass Band, and the Black Men of Labor Social Aid and Pleasure Club came together to honor the mixed heritage of Black and Native peoples before reburying them in the city's second Catholic cemetery, St. Louis No. 1.
Was an event that ended up drawing on Catholic traditions, on African traditions, on West and Central African traditions, and on Native American traditions to kind of draw all these things together.
Which inspired the naming of Vincent Marcello's pool once it was completed.
We call it the Pool of Souls. And the tenants, they came up with the name and not myself. They always say it's not like a spooky situation. Oh, we're a poltergeist site. That everybody's very quite content that they're swimming in the pool over coffins and stuff. That it's a very peaceful situation. It's not anything that would be haunted or spooky.
Peaceful, haunted, or both. Hundreds, if not thousands, of bodies, the first people of this city, are still buried beneath this 600 block of Rampart and Burgundy in the French Quarter. And of all the legends that float over and under the city's oldest streets, this is one to honor and believe. Tripod is a production of WWNO New Orleans Public Radio in collaboration with the Historic New Orleans Collection and the University of New Orleans Midlow Center for New Orleans Studies. Special thanks to Evan Christopher for the opening theme music. Catch Tripod on the air Thursdays during Morning Edition and again Mondays during All Things Considered. Listen to Tripod anytime you want. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Write us a review. You can find us on the social media, Instagram and Twitter. We're at TripodNola. Follow us. We'll follow you back. I am Lane Kaplan-Levinson, and
I'm Ryan Gray, and I'll tripod you later.